Okay, well, let's turn on our Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 8. That's where we're going to start. I'm calling this tonight Spiritually Minded. I thought that it would be an appropriate thing to look at to end this year and to begin the next. We know that God has given us life, a new nature, which is eternal life spirit. It's the life of God, His nature. And in that nature is life, peace, joy. And what we're going to see tonight is that we can think in light of who and what God has made us. We can be spiritually minded. Or we can be carnally minded. Which would be to live and to see things from the temporary viewpoint of this life, rather than from the viewpoint of eternal life. We can live our lives taking inventory of the things of the flesh, or we can live our lives taking inventory of who and what we are and what we have in Christ. Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse 1, and we're going to read these first few verses in this chapter. The real key to understanding this section is in verse 9, which we're going to get to, okay, in a few moments. But I wanted to begin here in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." And that's where that verse should end. The rest of that verse is not in any critical Greek text. So it's simply, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of the sin and the death." The law of the sin and the death refers to the Mosaic law. The law of life in Christ Jesus refers to Spirit. It's that life that we've received from God, which we're going to get a little bit more into as we read here. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned the sin in the flesh." Okay? The law was weak through the flesh. The flesh here is put for those without spirit. It's that nature of man, that man of body and soul. No spirit. Okay? At best, what the law could do was to control that nature. But what the law could not do was give life. Was provide or give the life that was necessary to carry out the righteousness of that law, which is what the next verse deals with. "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after or according to the flesh as one without spirit, but after or according to the what? Spirit." To the Spirit. To that new nature. To that nature we received from God when we believed on Jesus Christ. Now verse 5 goes into some little more detail here. It's a type of parenthesis. And the parenthesis ends in verse 7. "For they that are after or according to the flesh that old nature, do mind the things of the flesh. Okay? Now, this word mind is that word phroneo. We learned it at the Philippians weekend. I'm sure most of you remember. But it's thinking. But it's more than just thinking. It's an awareness of what you're thinking. Okay? It's an awareness of the way you see things. It's an awareness of the way you, of your viewpoint, of how you approach things because of how you think. Okay? The man of body and soul, or that man or woman without spirit who has not believed on Jesus Christ, can only think from the viewpoint of that old nature of body and soul. There's no other option. It's the only option there is. And that's what it's talking about. They that are after the flesh do mind or think the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the what?
Spirit.
For to be carnally minded is death. Now we'll look at this a little bit more in a few minutes. But this carnal mind, this carnal thinking is just that. It's carnal. It's according to that old nature, that body and soul, as one without spirit. But we're not one without spirit, are we? No. We have spirit. See? So we can think the things of the what?
Spirit.
Right. That new nature. What we receive from God. To be carnally minded, that kind of thinking is death. It lends itself to death. It's rooted in a fear of death, in that bondage of fear of death. Right? But to be spiritually minded, verse 6, to be spiritually carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what?
Life.
And peace. It's life and peace. That's a bit different than death, isn't it? Absolutely. It's life and peace. It lends itself to life and peace. Because, verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity. It's in opposition against God. It opposes God. It opposes the things of God. It opposes the way God looks at things. It opposes who and what God is. That's what carnal thinking is. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Now this law of God is referring back to a verse in Romans 7, verses 22 and 25. And that law of God is referring to spirit. It's referring to spirit. See? It's that section where Romans 7 declares that, you know, I couldn't do the law. I couldn't do it, but I found a way. It's a new law. See? And it's that spirit. It's what God made available through Christ. Okay? Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They can't. But you are what?
Not
in the flesh. You see the big qualifier here. That's a big qualifier. You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be, or literally it's since. It's a figure. You could translate it literally, since. Since the Spirit of God dwells where?
In you.
Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? He's none of his. And if Christ be in you, that Spirit. If Christ be in you, the body is dead, or indeed dead, because of sin. But the Spirit is what? Life, because of righteousness. The Spirit is life. As born again ones, those who are born of Spirit, because we've called on the name of Jesus Christ, we can think the things of the Spirit. We can think according to that new nature. We can think things based on information from God, rather than simply being limited to information by way of the senses. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. And what's neat about that section, or that verse 9, this is who and what we are. We're of God. We're in Christ. We're in the Spirit, from God's viewpoint. Isn't that something? That's who we are. It's not something we attain to by how we think. It's who and what we are. And because of who and what we are, we can think accordingly. We've already been made. It's already done. And it was all accomplished in Christ. All I did was believe on Him. All you did was believe on Him. 1 Corinthians, and we're going to start in chapter 1 is where I'd like to start. This is sort of neat. Paul, called an apostle, verse 1, of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, set apart, been made holy, in who? Christ Jesus. Called what?
Saints.
Holy ones. Called holy ones. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's always God's will. Grace and peace to His holy ones. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. It's been given. That in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance, your words, what we speak, and in all what?
Knowledge.
And what we think. Even as the testimony or the witness of Christ was confirmed in you. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Literally, that's so that you don't lack in any aspect of the gift. That gift that was received by grace. That you lack in no aspect of that gift. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, blameless, unimpeachable is what it means, unimpeachable in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That day of Christ, or the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, is referring to that gathering. Now, verse 10. Now I beseech you. Now we're talking to saints. We're talking to holy ones. Those that have been separated. Those that have been given grace by Jesus Christ. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions, or that there are divisions among you. That's a little different than verse 9, being called unto the fellowship, right, of our Lord Jesus Christ. That fellowship is to fully share in that which Jesus Christ as our Lord accomplished. You know, after the teaching tonight, we're going to have a communion. And that's part of that fellowship. It's a declaring of that fellowship that's ours, the broken body and the shed blood. That's what they were called unto. But what Paul, by revelation, was having to address here was what? Divisions. He was having to address divisions. Now this I say, that every one of you says, I'm of Paul, Apollos, Cephas, Christ. Is Christ divided? That's a rhetorical question. Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? See? There were divisions that had crept up. They weren't thinking according to Christ. They were aligning themselves with different ministers. Well, I'm of Apollos. Yeah, well, I'm of Cephas. You know? The real religious ones are going to say, I'm of Jesus. See? But it was all wrong. It was all wrong. So he's having to address this. I want you to turn to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto what? Carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet are you now able. For you are yet what? Whoa, 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 whoa. Back the bus up. Now we read in Romans, and we know this is written to holy ones, sanctified ones, to saints, that they were not in the flesh, those who have called upon Jesus Christ, but they're in the what? In the Spirit. Yet Paul here in chapter 3 calls them what?
Carnal.
Were they born again or were they not born again?
They were.
They absolutely were born again. They had Christ in them. They had eternal life spirit. So where were they carnal?
Their walk.
In their thinking, in their walk. That's right. They were carnal in their thinking. They were carnal in their walk. See? The way they were thinking, the way they viewed things, the way they approached things was from a carnal viewpoint. It was from the viewpoint of body and soul, of flesh, rather than who they were, what they were, and what they had in Christ. See? Verse 3, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? See? They walked as body and soul men. That's what they were doing. They were carnal in their thinking. Hey, envyings, strife. That's a far cry from life and peace, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. See? That's not what God had called them to. And God in his grace is addressing this. He's addressing this carnal thinking. Because it was robbing them of the joy that could be theirs. It was robbing them of the full fellowship with their Lord, Jesus Christ. See? Verse 5, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Look at, I've planted, Apollos watered, but what? It's God that gives the increase. See? It's really about who? It's about God. See? It's about God. Isn't that something? But they were thinking carnally. And it was robbing them of the joy that could have been. And instead of joy, there was envy. Instead of peace, there was strife. See? It's something, isn't it? Look at, let's go back to chapter 2 of this, of 1 Corinthians. And I want to pick it up in verse 12. Verse 11, actually. The word spirit is used 6 times in these verses that we're going to read. And it's a comparison of the spirit from God and the knowledge that he imparts, however he chooses to do it, as opposed to the spirit of man or the spirit of the world. It's kind of an idiomatic use of the word spirit. So it's the spirit of man or the spirit of the world. And the thinking and the knowledge that that produces. Right? So verse 11. For what man, it's very logical, what man knows the things of a man save or except the spirit of man which is in him? That soul life is what enables me or you to recognize or to know me. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the what? Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense. You know, that spirit of God and its relationship to God is what soul life is to the physical body. Now, verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of who? God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Right? Which things also we speak, not in words of man's wisdom or words of human wisdom, but which the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, that which emanates from Spirit, from the Spirit of God. See? That knowledge that originates with Him. And the way I can know that is because I have what? Spirit. I have Spirit. I have the Spirit of God. God, who is Holy Spirit, imparts information, makes things known. I have Holy Spirit born within me so that I can know them. But the natural man receives not the things of the what? Of the Spirit of God. That man of body and soul. He's limited to soul. You know, the senses are an amazing thing. they're amazing. They really are. You know, the awareness and perception that the senses can afford is really amazing. Compared to spirit, it's nothing. Nothing. As amazing as the senses are. And there are men who can train themselves, who exercise senses. And it's, you know, it's pretty amazing. Compared to spirit, nothing. Very limiting. So the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? You've got to have spirit. That's what it means. Spiritual is the same. Got to have spirit. He that is spiritual judgeth or examineth all things. Yet he himself is judged or examined of no man. So it's kind of neat. The man with spirit examines all things. He's not limited to his senses. But he's not examined by anybody who doesn't have spirit. They can't understand. Isn't that something? They didn't understand Jesus Christ, did they? Nope. Sure didn't. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the what? We have the mind of Christ. You know why we have the mind of Christ? Because we've got that new nature. We have the mind of Christ because we have spirit. See? We have the mind of Christ because we're born again. We can think spiritually. Like Jesus Christ thought spiritually. Because we have spirit. Because we have the spirit of Christ. We've got Christ in us. It's spirit. Isn't that neat? And so we can think the things of the spirit. We can think the things of that new nature. We see things from the viewpoint of eternity. Something. When we begin to really think the things of the Spirit and become aware of how we're thinking, when trials and tribulations present themselves, which they will in this life, rather than take inventory of those trials and those tribulations, we take inventory of what's ours in Christ. And we go to the Heavenly Father with those things. We go to the Word with those things. See? It's pretty neat. You know? We'll look at a short section here in Romans in a minute where it lays out some real practical things in Romans 12. Just a short section, as many places we could look at in the Word. But it's just examples of being spiritually minded, of thinking according to who and what we are in Christ, thinking in alignment and harmony with our Heavenly Father. And it's different than the world, you know. And the world's always trying to put us to sleep, you know, kind of, you know, lull you. Make the word seem like that not that big a deal, or even more than that, really make the word seem not quite as real. Where the word isn't really quite as real as what the senses are telling you. The adversary is very, very, very good at that. See, but we have spirit. Hey, I want you to turn to Romans 15, and I wanted to read a verse there. Romans chapter 15. Verse 13. Now, the God of hope Isn't that great? I love that phrase. The God of hope. He's always given men hope. And he's always fulfilled that which he's given them to hope for. Starting from Genesis chapter 3. Isn't that something? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and what?
Peace.
And peace in believing or in the believing. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Here it's referring to God. Through the power of God. That you might abound in hope. Joy and peace in what? Joy and peace in believing. See, that's God's will. Joy and peace in believing. That's a lot nicer. Doesn't that sound a lot better than fear, envy, strife, anger? Doesn't it? Payback. Joy and what? That's what we've been called to. Joy and peace in the believing. There's a verse I want to go to, and we're going to come right back to Romans. We're going to go to Romans 12. But I wanted to read this. This was in the teaching. I think it was Sean. I think it was in a teaching Sean did. It was sometime back. I don't remember now. But it's just a great verse. And I wanted to read it in light of what we're looking at tonight. Proverbs 13. It's so cool. One verse. Proverbs 13, verse 15. Good understanding gives what? Favor. That word favor is, it's grace. It's graciousness. Good understanding. And that understanding is, it's knowledge, it's wisdom, it's that understanding that comes from God. That good understanding gives grace. Grace. But the way of transgressors is what? Ah! Whoa! What a verse! You know, the transgressor is the one who rebels against God. The transgressor is the one that rejects what God says. Rejects God's ways. Rejects God's wisdom. Believer or unbeliever. They reject God's admonition, God's ways, God's reproof, God's teaching. See? And that way is what? It's hard. It's hard. It is harder than doing it God's way. It really is. The world makes you think, and the adversaries become expert at convincing saints to think that the way of God is harder because the world is so screwed up. Well, right about one thing, the world is so screwed up. But doing it God's way is actually easier. It's better. It tastes better. This way is hard. See, you end up in a bad place when you reject God, when you reject God's way, see, and you end up in envy, in strife, in jealousies, in fear, in all those things, see, that the world runs on. It runs on those things. That way is hard. You might be more accepted by the world. But that's not much of a payoff, is it? No. That doesn't replace joy and peace. That doesn't replace life. See? Let's go to Romans chapter 12. And remembering, you know, in light of everything we're looking at here, this is who and what we are. This is what we've been made. Romans chapter 12. Just a great section, real practical. Some wonderful examples of thinking, of conduct. And the conduct, it's not an act. Because it starts with loving without what? Hypocrisy in verse 9. Loving without hypocrisy. It's not an act. It's what you think. It's your viewpoint. See? It's your viewpoint. It's how you see it. Isn't that awesome? So often being blessed is just between the ears. And it's just, what are you thinking about? How do you see it? How do you see yourself? How do you see your brother or sister? See? And it just turns with thinking the way God says to think. See? And you can go from you know, consternation or whatever to with a thought. Let love, verse 9, be without hypocrisy. Dissimulation means hypocrisy. It's not a mask. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is what? Good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. These words, it basically means taking the lead in recognizing one another's value. See? You take the lead in recognizing my value as one who has been paid for by Jesus Christ. Then I take the lead in recognizing your value as one who's been paid for by the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I treat you accordingly. You're valuable. And I really see you that way. Carnal thinking would be to see somebody, to deal with somebody, perhaps in light of their shortcomings or weaknesses. I don't know, any number of ways. But that's not what this is talking about. Taking the lead and showing one another the value. And you know, when you handle something that's valuable, I mean, do you handle it the same way as you would a styrofoam cup? No. Give me a break. I don't know where that styrofoam cup came from. I guess it communicates. Verse 11. Not slothful in business. Not slothful in business. You're not lazy. Being diligent is basically what it means. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. You know, you're fervent regarding the things of God. I'll tell you, just, you know, being fervent in the things of God is not running around like a madman trying to see what you can do for everybody. But it's being concerned for the things of God in light of somebody's intrinsic value. What would be profitable to you and to my God? What would bless my Father for me to say or not say or do or maybe not do? I think in those terms. I don't think in the terms of, you know, what can I do so that Patty will love me? What can I do so she'll think I'm spiritual? What can she do so that I can make her happy? I mean, that may perhaps may be involved at a point. But the point is you're walking with your Heavenly Father. See? And I don't have hypocrisy blinding me. I don't have carnal thinking blinding me, preventing me from allowing God to work in me. Isn't that beautiful? See, I'm free from those things. Spiritually minded. Rejoicing in the what? In the hope. Rejoicing in the hope. I'll tell you, that rejoicing in the hope is huge. It's huge. You know, without rejoicing in that hope, without really getting that hope and building that hope in your life, the things that are really, in the great scheme of things, very insignificant, become the biggest deals. They really do. And it's so stupid sometimes. You know? Oh, he hurt me. Oh, she offended me. Oh, you know? It's silly. And maybe I should be careful with my words. Maybe you just need to rejoice in the hope. About that. Okay? Those things become so silly. They really do. You know, the bondage people get caught in because of their past. You know, this is the way I am. My whole life. Rejoice in the hope. This is nothing. It's a new day. It's a new day. You know? We're free from that stuff. And if you need forgiveness, guess what? Done. Move on. It's a new day. Rejoice in hope. It's a lifestyle. Patient in tribulation and mental pressure. They'll come. But we're patient because God is faithful. And we're spiritually minded. And we think in terms of our God. We think in terms of what is true. Continuing instant in prayer. That means giving persistent attention to prayer. Keep praying. Don't quit. Keep praying. Give persistent attention to it. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. See, given to it. You love it. You love taking care of people. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and what? The word bless basically means to speak well of. To speak well of those that persecute you. Whoa. Whoa. Spiritually minded. It's pretty wild, isn't it? Speak well of those that persecute you. Can't say nothing nice? Don't say nothing at all. Right? Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. We're in this together. And be of the same mind, one toward another. Think the same, one toward another. Mind not high things or lofty things, but condescend to men of low estate. And it basically means to think humble thoughts, to be with those who have humble thinking. Okay? Be not wise in your own what? Conceit. Your own conceit, your own intellect. That's not humility. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, As much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but give place unto wrath. Give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is what? I'll repay. Look it. If something needs to be dealt with, God will deal with it. It's not your place. That's spiritually minded. That's something. Because the perfect justice is going to come from God. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. Your enemy. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. You'll warm him. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. See, that's who we are. Spiritually minded. This is how we think. Does this stuff make sense? Is it making sense? I want you to go to, and we're going to close here, in Philippians chapter 4. And I think I'd like to start in verse 4. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Isn't that a great verse? Always rejoice. We always have something to rejoice about. You know, when we're spiritually minded, we're not circumstance conditioned. Joy is an inside job. Joy isn't based on my circumstance. Joy is based on the truth of God's word, who and what I am in Christ, what he's made me, my hope. That's what joy is based on. And there's not a circumstance that can touch any of those things. Right?
Right.
See? So no matter what, I joy. I rejoice in my Lord. Now, with that in mind, well, we'll keep reading. Let your moderation, and that's that yielding on insignificant matters. See, you're very yielding. You're kind, you're benevolent, yielding. Let it be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's near. Be careful. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, rather than being anxious, we what? We pray. Spiritually minded. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest or honorable. Whatsoever things are honorable, honest. Whatsoever things are just or righteous, you know, are right. Whatsoever things are pure. It's unmixed. It's unmixed with evil. Unmixed with the things of the world. Whatsoever things are lovely or pleasing. It's pleasing. A good word. For example. It's pleasing. Whatsoever things are pleasing. Of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And this word think, these words think on, is interesting. It's not phroneo. It's not one of the phroneo words. It's the word from the Greek, legizomai. Legizomai. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. And it means to add up or to take inventory. These are the things that we take inventory of. Let the inventory of our thinking be things that are true, of good report. See? Isn't that neat? Rather than taking inventory of that which is contrary to who and what our Heavenly Father is and who and what He's made us. Spiritually minded. And that issues in life and what? In peace. Isn't that beautiful? You know, the world has gone to great lengths and continues to go to great lengths to seek peace. And is somehow was never able to find it. And I have a feeling it's going to continue that way. You know? Until the Prince of Peace puts things in order. But until then, we can have life, we can have peace, we can have joy in believing and thinking these things, being spiritually minded. Okay? Rather than carnal thinking. So, Father, thanks for your word, and thanks, God, for some of these great truths. And that, again, that we are what your word says we are. We have what your word says we are. And that, Father, we will be what your word says we'll be. And that, Father, we can think accordingly. Thank you for these things in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right.